So as we've already said, today is All Saints Sunday, and that's a day set aside in the church where we remember, where we celebrate all of those people who are saints in our lives, people who have died, who have joined the church triumphant and gone on to be with Christ in glory. Now, with all of this, All Saints is an emotional day, and it's one of both grief and joy, because we feel grief as we acknowledge our own human loss and remember those who are no longer with us. But it's also a day of joy as we remember and celebrate that death is not the end of our story. All Saints originated back almost in the very beginning of the church as a way to commemorate, to remember all of those martyrs who in the early persecution of the church, whose names were maybe never recorded or unknown, and thus they were constantly at risk of being forgotten. And so the church began celebrating All Saints as a way to remember all of these unknown or unnamed martyrs. And still today, we gather and we observe All Saints and we remember those who we knew, but also those like those unnamed martyrs who died so many years ago. So today, as we move into this time of worship, we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll be reading from the Message. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It is in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this is the message of your salvation, found yourself home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. That's why, when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus, of your outpouring of love to all of the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you every time I prayed. I'd think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule, and not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all of this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I love the way that these verses begin, the way the Message translated. It says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this is the message of your salvation, that you found yourself home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. As I hear these words, really, they sum up what it means to be a saint. People who know who and what they are living for. People who have been signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. Now, I think sometimes we in the church get tripped up by this word saint. Because when we think about the saints, we either think about those who have been canonized by the church, or perhaps if you're from New Orleans like I am, you think more of these kinds of saints. My man, Drew Brees. But regardless of what kind of saints that you typically think of, those aren't the kinds, or saints aren't just limited to those two types. In the Message translation, it doesn't actually use the word saint, but in the Greek, they do use a word that's generally translated as saint, and it is hagios, which is really means holy one or set apart. And this was a term that was used to describe all followers of Jesus in the early church. And so while it did imply holiness or being set apart, it wasn't so much set apart like put on a pedestal, but set apart as the weird ones or kind of those strange people who followed Jesus and had these weird traditions. And so, and this was the term used for all followers of Jesus, all who have been set apart and marked by the Holy Spirit as disciples, which means that by that understanding that we are in a room full of the saints. Now, for some of you, this might be intimidating or you might be skeptical of this because you keep thinking of the saints. So I did some research on the saints this week, and it really depends on what number you look at, but one count says that there are 810 saints that have been canonized. Other lists say that there are thousands because of all of the unnamed martyrs across the globe over the centuries. But I started scrolling through the lists of the saints this week, and I saw names I expected. Peter and Paul, Francis of Assisi, Mother Teresa, some of the church fathers that I had to read in church history, like St. Augustine and Athanasius, and I saw a whole lot of popes. I didn't necessarily know who they all were, but a lot who were clearly popes. But what I discovered from this list is that the overwhelming majority, probably 90, 95% of all of those people, were people I've never heard of. Take, for example, Maria de la Purissima Salvat Romero or Alvaro de Portillo. Have any of you heard of either of these people? Well, Maria was a nun and Alvaro was a bishop, and they are people who were alive and died in my lifetime and died when I was old enough to have known about it and have been canonized in my lifetime. But I haven't heard of them, nor have most of you. And as a matter of fact, I looked it up. Since Pope Francis became Pope in 2013, 36 people have been canonized, and I've heard of two of them, Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul II. So what I took from this is that all of these official saints by the church are faithful people that the majority of the world has never heard of. They were people who were set apart as Christ's followers, people who faithfully followed the gospel and who didn't do it for the praise or the credit, but it was just part of who they were. And so I was thinking about that a lot as I was thinking about All Saints here today in this context, because while we do celebrate the lives of all of those who have gone on before us, we also take time to remember those people who were members of our congregation who have died in the last year. And this year we have five of those people. And as I thought about it, in a church of our size with three different services, that it's pretty unlikely that you knew all five of them. As a matter of fact, I'm willing to bet that there aren't a ton of people at any of our services today who knew all five of them well. But I also know that if you attended the 8:30 service and you sat over back there in the transept and you received a big smile and hug from Bobby Jones for over a decade, that you remember him as one of the saints today. Or if you were one of the five sixth grade, well, now seventh grade boys who was mentored by Brian Estes last year in confirmation, you remember him as one of the saints. Or if you ever heard our choir sing and you heard Denny Gooden sing a solo or just as part of the choir, you know that he was one of the saints. Or if you saw the smile, the joy at which Ed Tobias was wheeled into the sanctuary for worship week after week, despite his debilitating disease and the joy he had, you would know he was one of the saints. Or even if you didn't know Bob Brooks, if you know one of his daughters who's a member here or some of his grandchildren who are members here, all of whom are serving in different ministries in our congregation, you would see his fingerprints and faithfulness all over them.
and remember him as one of the saints. And the thing about all of these people is that they were faithful people. People who are unknown to some of you and unknown to most of the world, but people who were saints in the lives of those who knew them. Stanley Hauerwas, who is a professor at Duke Divinity School and theologian, he says that saints are people like us who are being made more than we are by being engrafted into God's kingdom that is ruled by forgiveness and love. Saints are people like us, people that includes us, who are being engrafted, being brought into God's kingdom, a kingdom of love and forgiveness. Now, when we gather on All Saints and we spend most of our time remembering those who have gone on, we run the risk of thinking that the term saint is reserved for those after death. But that's not the case. That's not what Hauerwas says, because it's people being made into. It's people who are citizens of God's kingdom. The term saint wasn't meant to be synonymous with the holiest of holy. It wasn't meant to be synonymous with those who are righteous and pretty close to perfect, who've been set aside as leaders of the faith. The term saint just meant set apart as a Christ follower. As people who, as it says in Ephesians, were signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming. I love that it uses the word signet here. And when I hear that word, I typically think of a ring. You know, when you use that ring and stamp it as a mark. But a signet is just a seal or a mark that gives authentication to something. And we, as people of faith, receive that mark through the waters of baptism. Because we don't think that baptism is simply a symbolic act. We believe that in the waters of baptism, we are marked by the Holy Spirit as beloved children of God. And not only that, here at Advent, when we baptize children, we also anoint them with oil. And when we do so, we say that we anoint them because it was an ancient tradition that the children of royalty were anointed as a sign of their citizenship in that kingdom. And so we anoint children on their baptism as a sign of their citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom ruled by love and forgiveness. Now, I think at Advent, for the most part, we talk more about how the waters of baptism make us brothers and sisters in Christ, how through baptism we are incorporated into the faith family and we take on a new last name, beloved child of God. But it's also true in our baptism that we take on a new title, saint. And so in my baptism, I became Saint Laura Allen, beloved child of God. Saint Michael Andrew, beloved child of God. We just finished our Restored sermon series where we've been talking all about God's grace and the power of God's grace to work through us and in spite of us, that helps us to grow in holiness, that restores our broken relationship with God because of sin. Now, if you were here last week, you saw our video testimony of Paul Webb, one of our band members, and he talked about how the Holy Spirit moved in a powerful way that led him to give up drugs for Lent. Pastor Michael, when reflecting on this, said that it was only by God's grace. It is only by God's grace that a person could give up drugs for Lent. And I think if any of the saints that we are celebrating today were here, that they would say that their lives are no different. That it was only by God's grace that Mother Teresa was able to give her life, such a great self-sacrifice to serving the poor. That it's only by God's grace that those bishops and popes and nuns who have been canonized were able to hear and embrace their calling. That it's only by God's grace that someone like Brian could be a mentor to sixth grade boys for a full year. Or that a former marathon runner like Ed Tobias could find joy even as he was wheeled into the sanctuary. But through the power of God's grace, people like us, are engrafted into God's kingdom of love and forgiveness. and are empowered to do things beyond what we could ever imagine or dream for ourselves. Because as saints, we are citizens of a different kingdom. A kingdom of love and forgiveness that has different rules. I'm going to read the last part of this passage again. It says, all this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne deep in heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. This kingdom of love and forgiveness is unlike any other nation or kingdom because it's not just for a period of time, but this kingdom is forever. And this is why, even on a day like All Saints, that we are able to find joy, because as citizens of this kingdom, we know that death isn't the end of the story. That we are part of this eternal kingdom with our eternal King. And that we, its citizens, all the saints, are people just like us, whom God's grace is working through and in spite of to be saints to others. Amen. It's a at Advent that on All Saints Sunday, we bring in a banner, and you've had the opportunity